Hey guys, welcome back to another episode. I'm here with Aoife Melia. So basically, I'm going to let Aoife Melia do a little introduction of herself, and then we'll just get into the podcast. So.
Oh God, okay. Hi, I am a karts racer from Athenry in Galway, and I've been racing since I was six. I got my first kart when I was 6 years old for my sixth birthday, and then I started competing in the national championship when I was eight. And then once I turned nine, I had a really big accident, so I had to stop racing altogether for a good few years. But then once I turned 14, I had my confirmation money already saved up, and then I bought another kart. And then from there, I've just been racing ever since, nearly every weekend since then.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then in 2017, I got signed for an electric kart championship, so I've been racing their prototypes for the last year now, and then only recently I tested over in Italy and I became like the fastest driver to drive an electric kart.
Oh wow.
That's really it, that's kind of my life.
Yeah. So you said you got your first kart at six.
Yeah.
And how did it come about? Like normal 6 year old just wouldn't go buy a go-kart, you know, so how did that come about?
I know, it sounds really odd, but my father raced single seaters, a Formula V and Formula Ford. And then he rallied for a few years, and then my older brother and my sister were racing at the time, so it was kind of bred into me that I had to do it. I had no choice.
And are your brothers and sisters still going with Alice, or?
No, my brother is quite old now. Kind of once you get to like the 20 age, you're kind of too old to really get competitive in it, so you kind of have to start young. And he kind of started at like 12, so he was already out the gap at this stage, so I couldn't really, he couldn't really keep going. And then my older sister, when I had the accident at that time, she completely stopped because she was too afraid to do it.
And what happened to the accident? Like what were you racing or what was it?
I was just karting. I had a race in Cork and someone just hit me from behind and I went like 10 foot up in the air and I landed on my head. So, but like in fairness, I only broke my hand, but it could have been a lot worse, and it really scared my family, so they just stopped me.
Jesus Christ! And how long then did you take you to get back into karting after that?
Well, I was always around the racetrack because my cousins were racing as well, so I was kind of mechanicking for them, and then just kind of visiting with my dad. Like if it was a Sunday, I'd just go to a racetrack and I'd show up, and then the race weekends off I just watch Formula One, so motorsport was always there, and I was always part of something. But I came back strong when I was 14. Yeah, that was it. So 9 to 14, how many years is that? It's like 5 years.
Yeah. So you never really left it, as in you took the break, but you never really left the world.
Oh no, I was still kind of known there. Everyone knew me from the crash anyway, so at least I had that name going for me. But I was my dad really just kept me in the circle, so I had all my friends there, so at least it wasn't hard coming back.
And did he race at all, or?
Yeah, he raced Formula V's, which were pretty big back maybe 30 years ago. A driver called Ayrton Senna used to race them, and he used to be a really big Formula One driver. My dad raced with him in Mondello, and he raced up until maybe I was 8 or 9 when the boom was around.
But yeah.
You know, when everyone started losing money, motorsport really went downhill. Everyone kind of ran out of money, so did we.
So then you came back at 14, and then when did you fully start taking off? When did you start getting on the international circuit? When did you start making kind of ground in Ireland and stuff?
I tried to get in through club rounds of 14 and 15, and then I kind of won not all but majority of races that I could win, all around Ireland in club rounds. So then I was like, there's no point in me keep doing the same races, so I just moved to the national circuits, and I was doing all the national rounds in Motorsport Ireland for 3 years. And then I moved into a senior kart, which meant it was quite difficult. I was against men who were married with kids, and they've been racing like all the time, so like I had to really step up my game. I didn't do as well, and I'm pretty open with it, but people did know that I did really well in juniors, so like the sponsors from the electric car team were just like, they knew who I was, so they just saw me and were like, we want her.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
And how did they find you? Like, what was that sort of process, or do you even know how they found you? Or
I'm not sure how they found me, but my manager rang my dad one day and was just like, can you be in Spain on the 12th of April or something like that. And my dad was like, all right. My dad didn't really ask many questions, and he was like, okay. And then we just showed up in Spain, and then we were testing electric cars, and that was really it. Yeah.
April this year, was it?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Okay, and then you went to Italy then afterwards. Didn't you then actually test again?
Yeah, I had to test again because the first time we tested in Barcelona, it was raining, and it being an electric car, rain and electrics don't exactly work.
Yeah.
The car was doing pretty well, but they did see a few flaws in it, so they had to take out another prototype in Italy. So we were testing that in Italy, and we had to test wet and dry weather, so that was the only place we could test.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you're still with them now, so what do you do, races on behalf of them, or how does that work?
So it's a championship that's run by a Tesla run company, so Tesla are going to try and do a championship kind of in the same lines of Formula E and Formula One, as they have their own championships. They're going to try and have a Tesla championship, but what they're trying to do is get the carters to have a championship themselves, and then the winners go on to this Tesla championship. So it's like we're breeding like carters into this new championship, which is quite good. Instead of Formula One, you kind of have to buy your way in there. Not that many Formula One drivers have won much. They just had the money to afford it, so
yeah.
And then they just called me, and they were just like, we want you in this Tesla championship. Now I thought I was racing Teslas, but no, I showed up and it was just an electric car, and I was like, oh, that's fine, that's okay. But a Tesla would be okay, I wouldn't mind one.
Yeah, just running out there to Elon Musk.
Yeah.
And when's that championship starting, or was that the first round, or what was the story about?
So we're supposed to have the championship in November, but due to Tesla kind of decreasing their shares and stuff like that, they have lost a bit of money. But because of that, it just meant that the championship couldn't start. But they're trying to get the ball rolling eventually. Money will come eventually with sponsors, because we are sponsored by Pirelli, which sponsor Formula One, and they're pretty good sponsors. So like they can fund us if we just fund the rest of it. So,
yeah. Is that after Elon Musk being on the Joe Rogan podcast and smoking weed and the shut here? Yeah,
something like that. I'm not sure, but apparently that was a factor.
Yeah, good podcast. And yeah, I listen to Joe Rogan a lot, so I actually did listen to that. That went very viral, like
in minutes, literally the whole world had heard it.
Like, as in like, oh no, something that's legal over there, he smoked the weed, literally took one pull of a joint, and something's legal in California, and then the whole world falls apart because he should not be doing that. Like, just, it was such an over exaggeration, but yeah.
I know.
Anyway, that happened. So is it possible that next year, then, once share prices go back up again, Tesla a bit more playing around money,
they'll
end up running the championship?
They wanted to start it in November, but I really think before July they could have a championship round done.
Okay.
With the looks of things, with the amount of testing we're doing and the feedback they're getting from us that do test it, they're on the ball, like they're ready to go. They just need money to come in.
And would this be male and female championship, or like would it be separate or racing together, or how does that work?
So all motorsport is mixed.
Okay.
Now the first like championship there ever was to be like the only female is the Formula W.
Okay.
That only came out recently in the last like 4 months, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, it's always been mixed, and I think it always will be. Bar this Formula W, I don't know. I don't know much about it.
Yeah. And do you prefer the mix, or would you prefer separate, or what's your opinion on the whole thing?
Well, I've always been like the only girl in my class, like in my racing class, so I really had no like choice, and to be honest, I don't see any difference. Like, I'm still able to beat the boys, so like I don't really care.
It's
the boys should have a problem with it.
But
I don't. Yeah.
And is there many female carters in Ireland, or is, like you're saying, you're mostly by yourself with lads, so
yeah.
Is there many girls carting in Ireland, or?
There's two in a junior class. There's me and another girl, Natasha, in a senior class, and there could be maybe one in a like a junior class. So there's only a handful of us.
Mm.
So we're quite a tight community, but we're all kind of like, we're all fending for ourselves. We're all like, we're here to beat the boys. Like,
yeah.
But we're not going to like, you know, use this whole women are better. We're just trying to compete just as equals.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. Because
yeah.
I imagine, because out of any sport, there shouldn't, like, as in, you should be able to compete just as well as a lad, because, you know, because it's a motor sport.
Yeah.
And then on the global scene, what would that look like? As in, like, you were saying you're racing internationally, so, like, were you racing on behalf of Ireland, or are you racing by yourself, or how does that work?
No, see, I'm doing it for the electric cart, so I'm running for Irish people, but I'm basically just doing it for the electric carts.
Yeah.
It's for myself. Like, I am winning for myself. I wouldn't, like, you know, give anyone else the credit because I'm doing it. I am carrying the Irish flag, but that's it.
Yeah. And is there many Irish on the international scene, like, or would you be kind of stand alone, or how?
There's a good few, but a lot of Irish people just go to England, and if you do well in England, you're usually on top of it, because English races are all on TV now, so you have Formula Ford, Formula 4, and all your GP3 races, they're all on either online or they're on ITV or something like that. But Irish is nothing, like, none of their races are, like, put online or anything like that. So, like, once you're seen on TV, it just means you're kind of famous.
Yeah. I should say TV, that's pretty good. And then, so you're over in Bristol, isn't it, studying?
Birmingham.
And what are you studying?
I'm studying to be a race mechanic.
Okay.
So it's an apprenticeship, basically, but we're learning the tricks of the trade right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing that until February, and then I go off and do race mechanics wherever I want. But, like, I had choices to stay in Ireland. Like, I got my first choice in CEO, and I got decent enough points for the little amount of study I did. But I was pretty happy with what I got, but I ended up just going there because that's what I wanted to do.
Mm.
Yeah.
And how long is your course, or how long does it last?
It can last for up to a year to 3 years. It doesn't really matter. You can do whatever you want as long as your coursework is done. And because I was in motorsport for so long, it's really easy to me. Like, so I've done all my coursework that's supposed to take me 3 years. So, like, I've done that, and a few of us have done the same. So we're all kind of just ready to go out and work now.
Yeah.
Just go straight to the racetrack.
And are you hoping, so you're doing mechanics,
yeah,
but are you hoping to just go full time, like, is the plan to go full time in racing, or to be a mechanic, or what, like, what?
Basically, like, the electric cart team were kind of like, when they heard me testing and stuff, they were kind of like, you're a good driver or whatever, but we need you to be able to give us feedback. And I didn't know how to give feedback, like, back, because I was just like, oh no, it's a good race, that's really it.
Mm.
But I couldn't be like, sorry.
Yeah.
I couldn't be like, I don't know what's wrong with the cart, because I don't know that stuff about it.
Mm.
But then I went to this open day over in England, and I was just there like, oh, this is actually interesting.
Mm.
So then I got to learn more about cars and carts and stuff, and that just made me, like, more interested that I should either be like a test driver where I can give back feedback, or be a race mechanic, but I'm not really picky.
Yeah.
I love them both, so.
you just enjoy being in that industry. You just kinda,
oh yeah, like, all my friends are there, so.
Yeah.
It's the only way.
And then and because you're with the e-karting team, can you drive normal karts as well, or are you exclusively signed with them, or how does?
Oh no, I can drive whatever I want.
Yeah.
No, I can do as many championships as I want to, but right now I want to focus on electric karts because it is going to be the future. Eventually, like, it might take 5 years, but it's getting in there. Petrol cars will just slowly die, like fuel cars, they're going away. So
yeah.
We're kind of moving into the future now. So yeah, that's me.
And you're the first female signed with e-karting.
Yeah.
Is there many other females signed now, or?
Now there is. There's two girls now. And there's me, and then there's Charlie, she's doing the cars, but yeah, no, there's just maybe four of us. So.
Okay,
yeah.
And is this like, could you, like, where have you raced? Like, as in, like, where would be, like, the most exotic place you've ever raced in? Or,
well, I haven't, like, went crazy. Yeah. Like, I haven't been overboard, but I have been to Adria and I've been to Barcelona, and, like, those places are, like, in the karting world, they're your two, like, main places. So, right. Barcelona, no, it's not really Barcelona, it's Alcanyes, and for motorsport people, Alcanyes is, like, it's the center of motorsport in Spain. So in Alcanyes, they used to have the rally going around this really small, tight town. And when they crashed, they went straight into buildings and a lot of people died. But yeah, no, Alcanyes is pretty big for motorsport. And Adria is, I think it's part-owned by Michael Schumacher. I'm not completely sure, but it's Adria will be one of the bigger places in Italy. Karting's pretty popular in Italy,
yeah,
but Adria has been the most invested in, so they're my two favorite.
Yeah. And is, like, was Formula One, I know that, like, that's the most famous one, and, like, I wouldn't really know much about the other ones, I wouldn't know much about Formula One either, but, like, is that still kind of, like, the dream for a lot of people, like, starting in karting, is that they want to end up in Formula One, or is maybe is that moving now because of the e-karting coming up and the, you're seeing Formula W and all that, like,
yeah.
Is that still kind of the aim for everyone, or, like, when, let's say, younger ones coming up in the ranks,
yeah,
and hear them talking?
Yeah, no, it is kind of like that. Like, when I was 8, my dream was to be a Formula One driver, and then I slowly realised with the funding, never.
Yeah.
That could never happen. But, no, see, in Ireland, and, to be Irish, you'd have to be as lucky as winning the lottery twice, and then to also be a female, you may as well triple that chances also. So
yeah.
I would love to be there, but I'm being realistic in the fact that I probably will never get there. So for Irish people, we don't really aim for Formula One. Now, when you're like 8 or 9, yes, that's your aim. But once you kind of get the facts straight, you're kind of like, okay, Formula E would probably be more realistic, or Formula Ford. Or then, I don't know, if you go into GT races and race tin tops for the rest of your life, yeah, you could just race Porsches in the Carrera Cup, like,
yeah.
Or you could do Le Mans, doesn't really matter.
Yeah. And you're saying it's, like, really, really expensive to try and get to, like, Formula One, isn't it? There's so much money. Like, do you know roughly, like, how much, like, if you wanted to reach the top, how much, like,
oh, like, millions, like,
really?
I mean, like, you need to have 20 million up front in cash with no installments, like, ready to hand over. Yeah, even to be in one of the, like, the lesser off teams, like maybe Force India or Williams or something like
yeah.
that. Yeah, to start off, that's what you're starting off with.
That's your own money, or is that your sponsors along?
Yeah,
that, like,
so for teams in Formula One, your biggest sponsor is the driver itself. It's not the sponsors at all, like, usually, I don't know, with Red Bull, their main sponsor is Red Bull, but Max Verstappen is bringing in majority of that money for Red Bull.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because I know I've talked about people, saying Brandon Carrotone earlier, but he was saying, like, it's just, like, stupid amount of money to try and get into. Like, it's so out of the realm of possibility for so many people. Like,
oh, completely, yeah.
That, like, people don't have, you know, like I said, 20 million up front just to be chucking at.
Yeah, why would you even kind of bother? But the majority of the drivers right now in Formula One, their fathers raced in Formula One, so they made the money. And now they're just passing it on. So
yeah.
You can understand that. And then there's Lance Stroll, who's probably one of the richest people in the world, so I can understand why he's racing there. But other than that, I'd never get there.
Yeah. And then what's, like, let's say then for the local scene, so buying in and getting into go-karting, let's say just locally, is this someone, a young person listening to this and want to get into go-karting, what would be involved, what do you have to go do?
Well, you could just go to your, like, local track, like, track days. Now, there's not many in this side of the country anymore. There was, but after maybe years of just, like, bad weather and stuff like that, it just hasn't really worked out. But majority of the races are kind of over east, so you're over, like, Meath and Dublin, and then there's a track down south in Cork. So if you make your way to those tracks during a race weekend, like a motorsport Ireland race again, you'd kind of get a sense for it, and there's always someone selling something.
Yeah.
Whether it be online, now you can look up Motorsport Ireland karting, and a lot of numbers will be left there, so you can find out where you can start off. But your best bet is to go to a track.
Because like, it wouldn't be the most popular thing. Like, I wouldn't have really heard many people. Like, I know a lot of people, like, involved in the motor industry, but, you know, like, with regards to rallying. Rallying's a fairly big thing in Ireland.
Yeah,
a lot bigger
huge.
Than go-karting.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wouldn't have really, like, my uncle used to, was somebody stupid. What's the person who sets the passenger seat? You know, like
the navigator.
Navigator, yeah, he did that for years. But then downturn happened, and then there wasn't the money there anymore, so he didn't. I don't think he does it anymore. But like, it seemed like, I know I was talking to him, and he was saying it's a very small group of people, especially in Ireland. Like, everyone in the circle, like, knows each other.
Yeah, that's the best part of it.
Yeah,
we're all like friends. Even the carters, we'd be friends with the rally drivers, because majority of the rally drivers started in karting.
Okay.
Or we've either raced single seaters before or something like that, but we've all crossed paths. We've all either bought something off one another, or it's just the way it is. Ireland is so small, and because entries aren't that big anymore, we're all just best friends.
Yeah. And other than karting then, do you have any other hobbies, or is that kind of your whole kind of world?
Well, like, it has always been my whole world, but because it's kind of a very, you have to be very fit for it.
Okay.
It's very physical, so like I took swimming very competitive. Well, I took it very competitively because I need to win everything. I'm just the way I am.
Yeah.
But yeah, I ended up like just loving swimming, and it just helped my shoulders because, like, you're turning a steering wheel, so that helped. And then I ended up being a lifeguard, so that also took over my life too. but other than that, I watch Netflix all day, and I like cuddle my dog majority of the day, so I have no other hobbies other than that.
Yeah. And so for your fitness, are you exclusively swimming, or do you do any gym work, or what?
Yeah, no, I used to, well, season's over now, so
yeah,
you don't really take it seriously, but especially because it's Christmas and, you know, there's so much sweets to eat. But
of course, yeah.
Like, besides that, yeah, swimming would be the best because it's cardio and it keeps you fit, but I also used to do the rower. You have to do weights, like crazy weights, because it's a lot of G-force, you kind of would have to, like, kind of train your neck, as in, like, hold up something and have an elastic band. Nothing major. You basically just have to be very fit because your reactions, you need to have really quick reactions.
Yeah.
So that's, cardio was my big thing, even though it's horrible, but you have to do it.
Yeah, no, I never did it. Like, I did a triathlon in June. My friend literally texted me 2 months before and went, go to triathlon. I was like, I was absolutely not. I was fit, but I was not in triathlon shape. And I was like, fuck it, let's just do it. But I was doing the French language course for the 3 weeks literally before that. So like, all I was doing, I was in St. Mary's, living in St. Mary's,
yeah,
running a lap, 5K laps every day, over and over again.
Yeah.
But then when I got to the swim, me and my friend went and did it. But he's a lifeguard as well.
Okay.
So like, he like literally, I think it was like 300 or 400 meter swim. And he did like,
yeah,
10 minutes, he cleaned it, like, and like took me like 20 minutes. Like, I was like, he just actually destroyed me. But I didn't do much. And then I spent the whole rest of the race just trying to catch him. So I was like, literally, my parents were like along the way, so they were like, where's Josh? And literally, I ended up at the very end of the day, I got like 12 seconds ahead of him, but like, that was the whole thing. But
just to beat him, I guess.
Yeah, literally,
yeah,
like, I'm very highly competitive. No,
oh,
one is. Yeah. Like, no, like, even though we're best friends, I still wanted to destroy him.
Yeah, no, I get you. I completely get you.
Yeah. But yeah, so, and then with the neck thing, that's become more and more popular. Because I know I do jiu-jitsu, right? So neck, people get a lot of slip discs and stuff on their backs because their necks aren't straight. Because no one, like, people for
years...
You
don't think about it when you're warming up. Like, when you're warming up your neck, you don't actually warm it up. You're just going like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Like, they don't even strengthen around them because, like, especially, like you were saying, for the G-forces and for jiu-jitsu as well, like, as in you're being put a lot of pressure on people's weight on your neck, and, like, it's not the strongest thing in the world. No one strengthens it. So what sort of you special piece of equipment did you use to strengthen your neck?
Well, you're kind of on like the bench, and you like basically hold your head over the bench, and then this elastic band is holding the disc. What's the disc with the weight? What's that called again?
Just a plate.
You'd have like maybe 10 kg on that, and you just hold it and you go up and down like that.
Okay.
Now, it sounds pretty basic, but it's the only kind of thing that would strengthen you, other than maybe someone pulling at you, if you have the elastic band. That's how I would usually get ready for a race. I just get someone to hold an elastic band and pull it, and I'd have to pull against it. But that's there's nothing really to train your neck.
Yeah. have you noticed a difference? Like, would you have any negative effects from the G-forces over the years, or like, you know, other than off your accident when you land on your head, but would you have noticed any differences? Did you start doing any neck training, or did it make...
Well, I did notice that, like, I either had a very visible double chin, or just the fact that like women shouldn't have thick necks, but yeah, anyway, doesn't matter. Like I ended up having like a really thick masculine neck, but I don't, yeah, but it's fine, I'm okay with it.
It's part of the cost of entry, I suppose.
Exactly. At least I have enough hair to cover it, so it's fine.
Yeah. We don't have the same blessing. And then you're saying you're into Netflix, so what's
everything. I have literally watched everything. Well, see, my college course is only 2.5 days a week. So, you know, and because I don't really come home that often and I just spend weekends out there watching Netflix. So,
yeah
I've watched everything. I've watched Riverdale twice. oh my God, House of Cards, How to Get Away with Murder, everything. Everything I've watched, because if anyone ever asks me to watch a movie with them, I can't. They actually don't even ask me anymore because I've watched everything. So I'm like, no, I can't watch it. Sorry, watch it already.
Watching the new season of House of Cards.
Oh, it's so good. I really love it.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah.
But did you see Kevin Spacey's new video he put out? He released it lately on his YouTube channel. Did you see it?
No.
It was him in character. Here, I have no idea. Yeah, I'll pull it up. I'll play it for you. It's like a 3-minute video, but like I can put it up on the screen for them there. But it's really weird. Like, as in, basically, he's kind of in character, but he's kind of also referring to the rape trial as well. He was after he got convicted.
Oh shit.
So
creepy.
Yeah, that goes on for a
How did he like keep a straight face when he like died?
That was literally posted the day that he got convicted. So like he released this, and that went on trending. Like that went absolutely crazy because people were like, "What the fuck?" You know, and like he goes towards the end, he goes, "Oh, I wasn't never dead," and all this, you know, because you know the way they show his funeral at the end of House of Cards. Like I really enjoyed the series, but after when that came out, they were like, "Oh my god, fuck yeah!"
No, I've watched White Gold on Netflix.
No,
it's really good. But your man that plays Chuck Bass in Gossip Girl, I'm trying to think of his name. But anyway, yeah, he does White Gold, and I was like, why isn't there a second series? Like, it's really really good. But apparently, he also got convicted for rape as well.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh my god, I shouldn't tell everyone I love the show because it's kind of weird.
Yeah, no, but like it's a good show, but but apparently in Hollywood for years, like it was always kind of the underlying thing is like you kind of knew there was something going on there, but like it was kind of something no one ever talked about. But now with the whole Me Too movement and everything, it's all coming out. But
yeah, it's nearly a witch hunt at this stage, but it's not my opinion.
I don't know. Sometimes someone's name might get associated and then everyone goes after them before maybe they go through the full justice system.
Yeah.
Like, obviously everyone has the right to go through it, but like, a lot of them, Kevin was like, I swear I don't remember that night and stuff like that, you know. Like,
yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's all very twisted and everything. Do you ever watch a really hot in Black Mirror at the moment? Did you?
I can't do it. I can't watch Black Mirror.
No.
It freaks me out. I literally, I actually don't understand, but like, I was watching someone, I can't remember, and I remember I watched one episode and I had to just walk out of the room.
Did you watch the first one?
I think it could either be the first one.
Maybe the Prime Minister of the Pig.
I have no idea. I remember just literally wanting to leave the room crying. It was that bad. I was like, this is so weird.
Yeah. Like, I know the first episode is very, very graphic. And you watch and you go, what the fuck did I just watch? And then maybe the twist is of everyone goes on the second episode, but like they're all like different. Like, I mean, they're all kind of in the same universe, but they're all completely different plot lines.
Yeah, that's what my friend said. Yeah, they're like, it's not really easy to follow, but it's good to watch if like you're kind of bored. So,
yeah, no, it is.
No, I don't think I won't go back to it. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I do not recommend to a friend.
But the thing is, what I would they've actually released a Black Mirror movie a couple days ago.
Bye.
No. But the really cool thing about this is you choose the character does. There's 5 different endings.
Someone said that.
It's phenomenal. Like, I watched
it. You have to choose, yeah.
Yeah. So okay. There's 5 different endings. So I think what this is, there's about 5 hours of footage. Depending on what one you're down, it's an hour and a half, really, of a movie. But, like, literally, it starts off, I'm not going to give any spoilers on it, but, like, basically it starts off with very easy decisions. And then as it goes on, they get more and more, like, dark and decisions you end up making and stuff. But, like, it's... Like, it's...
Bye.
But, like, it's actually... The plot line's not too bad. Like, I suppose I've only seen one ending, and I've kind of watched videos on YouTube, and people have, like, had different endings and stuff. But, yeah, it was... It's really... I really enjoyed the whole getting to pick what the character does.
Yeah.
I don't know, that was kind of cool, but... Like, Netflix said, because of such success, they might end up maybe going try and do something... do a movie like that where you're get
choosing.
To choose.
Yeah.
It's... I don't know, it's very, very weird. You didn't enjoy Black Mirror at all?
Absolutely not. No.
Was there anything else you're on Netflix you're watching at the moment?
There was something I was only watching. Oh, You. It only came in, like, the last, like, 4 days or whatever. But I loved Gossip Girl. Like, I was obsessed. But there was a guy in it called Dan Humphrey.
Okay.
I don't know his actual real name. But I know the real Gossip Girl. It's a real name, okay? Dan Humphrey is in this TV show called You, where he's kind of stalking this girl. And he's so obsessed with her. And she ends up falling in love with him. And then he becomes a psychopath. It's really good. Definitely watch it. Seriously, it's so good. I told all my friends to watch it, and now they're all watching it, and they're like, thank you. So, you know, I'm just saying, watch it. And then say thank you.
So you can all go text Amelia and thanks her after you've enjoyed watching it. I'm a very addictive personality, whether it be like finding a new thing and going, like, as in YouTube, I go hella for that, leather than that, or find a new sport, or like, I go hella for leather than that. But
yeah,
I have to really control myself on Netflix, because, like, if I start a series, like, you won't see me for 48 hours.
I feel you. I completely feel you. Over the Christmas, I, like, ended up staying in my bed for 3 days, and I ate a full variety box of potatoes, and I didn't move from my bed.
Yeah.
Like, that's how bad my life is right now. I'm like, because it's the days between Christmas and New Year's where you don't know what you're going to do with yourself, so you're just like, what day is it? Who am I? Kind of like, so you end up, like, having to watch Netflix, and I just... too much, basically.
Yeah, that's the whole point of Christmas, isn't it?
Yeah.
But because I know if I go anywhere near it, I just end up, like, just even if it's not even that good, I have to have the full experience. But I know the only thing in my head is the Christmas where Left Leavings with it, which I haven't touched yet.
Last year, oh my god, don't even start me. Leavings are, it doesn't matter until the last month. That's all I'm saying. Other than that, don't even bother looking at it, because you're just going to forget it, because that's what happened to me. And then I had to, like, revise what I revised last year. So, just don't.
Yeah.
No.
But did you know when you were in Leavenshire last year, did you know you were going to be going over to England? Like, see that you still thought, like, I need to get the points for my course.
Yeah, I was like, the last 2 months of Leavenshire, I was like, I am utterly screwed. Like, I ended up, like, I signed up for all community colleges in the country. I was like, anything, just anything. So, because I was so afraid I'd fail, like, either English, maths, or Irish, even though I'm pretty good at them. But I was like, if I'm just unlucky, and I usually am, I was like covering all boxes. I was like, I'll do it. But anyway, I was doing my leaving cert, and then the college rang, and then they're like, oh, we need you to come for an interview in 3 days' time, which was, it was the day before my German leaving cert exam. So that obviously didn't sort me out for German. I'm just saying, I got the worst result in German, like H8, like, by, didn't count it. But there's a reason for it.
Yeah.
I have a good excuse for it. So at least I'm in college now.
I didn't know, because of the fact you're over in England, whether you'd been planned and that you kind of...
I really had, like, because I was doing my leaving cert, and then I was testing over in Barcelona when I was doing my orals. And then I missed my real oral, and then the school like changed, rescheduled it for me the following week, which was pretty nice of them.
Yeah.
I was happy enough to miss it. I was like 40%, to be honest, I'm gonna fail anyway, so it really doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
But like, no, German, just like languages, not good at it. So I really wasn't pushed. I wasn't gonna count it, so I was like, that's fine.
Yeah.
But I just about like chose to go to England. I was really like, I really pushed myself. Well, I didn't really push myself, but like, you know, like I did go to after school study, and to me that's a lot.
Yeah.
And I did my homework, which also is a lot to me. So I put a lot of like, I tried at least.
Yeah.
But I just didn't take the entire like CEO choice. No, like my first choice was DIT for mechanical engineering because I love Dublin. And I knew I wasn't going to get into DCU. Well, I was probably could have if I really tried, but I couldn't be yours. that was my first choice, and I got it. And then I was like, oh, will I go to England? Will I not? And then I was like, Christ, if it's only a one-year course, which I thought it was.
Yeah.
Well, it can be whenever you want, but I was like, if I only go there for a year, can I just defer my year for DIT?
Mm.
And I told DIT, and they're like, defer it for as many years as you want. Do whatever you want. If you got the points, you'll even start. That's fine. So I have my choice to go back to DIT whenever I really want to.
Yeah.
I just have to decide when to go back. And now I could go back next year. I'm just not sure right now.
Yeah.
I just have to kind of see how my life goes.
And did you do all high level subjects, or did you do any pass subjects?
I did pass maths.
Yeah.
Because I could not be arsed. Like, no, like I was pretty. I'm pretty good at maths. Like maths was pretty good for me, but I really wanted to do well in English. Like I got an A in the junior cert, so I was like, and I got like a C in maths in the junior cert. I have good enough excuses for the reason for my results. I'm just saying. But I was like, oh, I'd probably do better in English than I would in maths.
Mm.
Even though I would have got 25 extra points, but I was like, fuck it, no.
Yeah, not the same as in, I was doing all 7 high level, and then I was like, English is never my strong point. Maths is all kind of stronger for me, so I was like, why am I still doing higher level?
Yeah.
We got different teachers this year. We had a very good teacher last year. We got different teachers this year. I was like, I have no hope. So I was like,
yeah.
So I dropped down. I literally just like totally now just neglecting English, not doing a tap for it. And like, but actually, my higher level teacher told my past teacher, because I went to my higher level teacher didn't want me to move down. And she was like, don't move down. Like you can get a good grade, but like, I'm not going to work and I'm going to fail it if I don't. Like,
yeah.
And
it's like a lot of work. There's a lot of quotes you kind of have to learn.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Like,
I put the work in. I was like, I'm hopeless in this.
Unless like, see what I did. Sorry for interrupting like I'm pretty good at odds. Like I'm pretty good at like writing out all the chances of coming, like some stuff coming up.
Yeah.
And I realized that last year I was like, there has to be a woman, and there was only two women on the course. And then one had came up the last year before, and they never repeat a woman. So I was like, I'm going to learn this woman. So I learned Elaine Quinlan, and who came up?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I literally, like, tears come down my face because they didn't mix up. They purposely put part of paper 2 on paper 1 last year.
Mm.
And that really turned people. That was like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
But a lot of people might like, I was looking around and people were like, but I really focused on paper 2, so yeah, I just did really well in paper 2 and really didn't care about paper 1.
Yeah.
Well, for paper 1, you have to do an essay.
Yeah.
And that just absolute bull completely.
Yeah.
That's what I did. And when I rechecked my papers, I did really, really well in my bull essay. I was like, this is pretty good for me. I never actually bullshit this much. I was like, but I did well, so I was like, for the paper I didn't put any work in. I kind of did better than my paper did. So I was like,
yeah,
I was happy.
But like, I don't agree with the whole. They've actually added 2 days on leaving this year. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Because some people were having 3 exams in 1 day,
oh,
and
yeah.
Irish. I know one of the guys in the Irish Second Schools Union, and they like went to the Minister for Education. They were like, "This is crazy! Like, you can't expect students to perform at 100%
exactly
in 3 exams in 1 day."
Yeah.
So they actually got 2 days added on to leaving this year. So I think majority only have max 2 in 1 day. which is still, I don't know, two in one day is still probably like
it's still a lot. Yeah. I like, oh my god, even sir, that whole month was the most exhausting month of my life, because seeing in my school we did grad maybe the week before.
Oh, yeah.
And that killed me out until like the following Tuesday. Like I was flat, I wasn't getting up out of bed, and then like you're supposed to really study that weekend. Nope, couldn't. All of us, I remember I was in a group chat and they're all like, how are you doing today? Is anyone to study? Absolutely not. Not, can't even get up out of bed. Where's my foot? Like, that's how bad we were.
Yeah.
Because grad is like the only time you're going to either see them before the debs. Mm. So we all went absolutely crazy. And that's the way it kind of was. And majority of schools are like that as well. They all go up before the leaving cert, which is the worst idea ever. I completely don't do it. Don't do it. Even if you want to, don't do it. But yeah, no, like I remember English tired me out. I was like, oh, holy Jesus.
Yeah.
I thought the day was never going to end, and then at least I had Irish the Friday, and then I had the second paper on the Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So at least I had the whole weekend to go over my essay, so I was fine. I think, wasn't the essay paper two in Irish?
I'm not really, I can't remember, but I do
remember being like, if I had two papers, one was going out the window before I even walked into the exam, because I was like, I'm going to focus on one. And then if you just pass the other, at least you get a B. Like, you're going to get a H3 if you just work on one paper and then kind of skim the other one. Well, that's my opinion.
Yeah.
And especially with Irish, I was like, thank God I had walked in with 40%. Because I was like, oh, Jesus, if I didn't, like, I'd have to actually learn the essay. So I just really, like, I scraped that one too.
Yeah.
But I did well with even start. For someone who really, I'm never really in school. Like, I was always racing all the time, so I couldn't really take school that seriously.
Yeah.
But I still got a decent, like, leaving cert, and I'll always fall back on it. Like, it's not something I'm pretty ashamed of. I'm like, pretty like, I did nothing and I got that. I'm just saying.
Yeah. And with your oral for Irish, did you go to the real thing at all, or did you just?
No. My teacher really told me to go down a pass. I didn't really care in Irish, to be honest. My class was just too full. Like, from the school that I'm in, it's pretty busy. Like, there's a lot of people in it, so you didn't get much time. You just got your essays and were told to learn it. And then I went to Yates College in Easter. That completely sorted me out.
Oh, really?
Oh my goodness. Like, if you go to Yates, or if you go to that Mill Street course, if you go to any of them courses, they actually nearly tell you what's coming up. Amazing. They will give you essays, and they'll be like, learn this, it will come up, and it will come up. Like, I'm not even joking. Like, I don't know much Irish. I'm not good at it. I'm also not good at speaking it, but they gave me something to learn off. I learned it, and now if they asked me something else, I would have been utterly screwed.
Yeah,
but I was like, at least I have this going in, and it kind of gave me confidence, and it did come up, because these people are getting paid to know what they're talking about, because with these companies like Yates, they're trying to get the best for their students. Unlike like community schools, they're just getting paid. They don't, like, as much as they probably like their jobs, they're not getting the same amount of attention as Yates teachers are. So
I think I was on the Yates, because I couldn't remember what time my course at. I'm doing Irish and French for it, because, like, I'm just language open a weak point.
Understand completely.
Yeah. But I actually went to learning last 2 years, which really helped my spoken. Like, my spoken's really, really improved. But I can't write for shit. Like, I think, so that's what I'm hoping. I'm going to give me things I can learn off.
No, they will. Like, it's so good. They gave me this essay, and they gave me essays for the poetry, and that was really all I needed to learn. No, I needed to learn my play, which was On Trial, which I had absolutely no clue about. But my teacher did say that if I went in with 100, if I went in with my essay, and had got maybe 80% in my essay and got at least 20%, well, 20 points out of 40 points. No, is it 20? Yeah, 20% out of 40% in my oral, I would have scraped to H6.
Yeah.
And she was like, if you're just aiming to pass, you can do the essay and focus on your oral. She was like, but if you want to get higher and if you really care, then do this and that. And I was like, fine. But I just did my essay, I did my oral, and then I did a few bits on the side, and the few bits that I did learn did actually come up, and I was pretty lucky. But like, I'm just lucky. Like, for the leaving cert in my Irish, I was expecting to really be really unlucky. Like, everything I learned did not come up, but it came up. And a lot of people in my class were kind of like, I looked around and I was kind of like, oh my God, why is no one else writing? Apparently everyone else kind of flipped out. They didn't know what to write. But I was like, I went to Yates. They gave me this essay. I'm gonna write it.
I'm glad to hear that, because like, I didn't really, I know a couple of you from our school are actually going doing it, because like, you know, teachers are very, you know, like I said, these students can be very mixed. You can get with like, I have some phenomenal teachers and some not so. Yeah, so like, and language is always my naturally weak point anyway. Like, so that's why I'm hoping, that was hoping that it just kind of give me the cheat sheet. If I like, if I'm given something to learn off, I'll go learn it off, no bother, and I'll just puke it up in the bag.
Honestly, it's the best thing ever.
Yeah.
Like, I sold my Yates notes, and people were like begging me for them because they were like, they realized how important they were.
Good to know. You're saying about grads. We actually had our grads.
Oh yeah, yeah, you
yeah.
have yours really
but,
early.
But
yeah.
like we're gonna have that there, and then we're also gonna go out of like, so what they
yeah,
did last year was
yeah.
they tried to organize the grads in like early, like kind of November,
December.
School shut down. But then in May they all went out drinking with the teachers that night. They all went graduating out at Keynes.
Yeah,
And then the other dead then, but like we're gonna do the three. So we've managed to pull it off because like. Oh, like I organized the grads, like it was so difficult.
Honestly, so difficult to deal with. I completely understand.
Oh, people at hotels, because like the hotels were like, what is it again? A deb? No, not a deb. It's like, no, you're like before leaving, so like, why is it so early? I was like, and then they're like, no, we don't want you. And like,
yeah, they're really like afraid that you might break something. You're like, majority of my year is 17. I think they'll be okay.
Yeah.
Like,
well, it's a few, but.
yeah,
but
there's a few handful you have to look at, but like,
yeah.
if you don't want to. Deal with them, then don't invite them.
Like, thankfully our night went really smoothly, like as in like nothing got broken except a couple of glasses, which is fine, it was normal for
that's
night
normal.
Out. Yeah, like a couple of glasses, other than that, like everything went really smoothly, surprisingly, like there was no kind of big massive thing that happened, so yeah, so everyone enjoyed themselves. And I think like our two halves of the year in Leaving Cert, you know, like the ones that did TY didn't do TY,
yeah,
well, we never, like, there's no real kind of like mix between them, as like there's always been kind of a divide there, because like, you know, the friend groups are made before you go into like 50 or
yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
so like, you know, there was never really much thing, but I think one thing that came kind of came out of that night was that like the whole kind of year mixed right, which was kind of nice.
Yeah, it is, I suppose. I think we all, like my year only got close in the last month of Leaving Cert, because we were kind of like, we all kind of ended up sharing notes, and we all like started sharing bits and pieces that we already had, which was really nice. But all in that, we were all kind of fending for ourselves, being like, this is us. We're all, in fairness, we were all very selfish to a point where you could be. Like, you weren't rude about it. We were all kind of there for ourselves. So the last month, it was all like, oh, do you want this note? Oh, I'll give you flashcards. Kind of like that, and that was really nice, but other than that, we were kind of iffy. Like,
yeah.
boys and girls didn't mix my year completely.
Oh, really?
No, that's not a thing. Like, nah.
No way.
yeah.
Ours would be pretty well mixed, and like, there wouldn't be, especially nights out, but like, even in school, like, you'd see a fairly good mix within most. Not
like,
a lot.
Oh my god, girls would hate you if you talk to a boy at lunchtime.
Really?
Like, when I came back from my testing in Barcelona, oh my goodness. Like, a few guys had heard about it, like it was on like the internet and stuff, and they saw that I came back from Barcelona, and they're like asking me loads of questions and stuff like that, but the girls were like, why are you talking to them? You can't talk to him. Why are you you're not going out with him, then why are you talking to him? No, but they're like, are you serious? Like, the hell?
what age are you like?
Yeah,
maybe first year, like, you know, like that.
No, see, but I did go to a girls' national school, and
oh.
we had a very big, like, kind of not a big influence, but there was a lot of us, and we all dispersed into separate groups, and then our opinions of boys being afraid of boys kind of spread out, so
yeah.
like, everyone like hated boys.
I suppose, yeah, because like, I know a lot of our school, most of us came from mixed primary schools,
yeah.
so there was never that, I suppose, divide. What was that like going to a girl girls'
oh,
school?
It was awful. Like, I had never actually sat so close to a boy in my life. Like, I walked in, and in fairness, the girl who was sitting beside me went to my national school, lovely girl.
Yeah.
And I sat beside her all year, but then we'd go into science, and we'd go to home ec, and we'd go to music, whatever, so we had to mix. But it was awful. I was so afraid of men. I got to second year, and I was like, okay, boys aren't that bad, but God, people's opinions of men for all of, like, first year were just like, they're disgusting. Don't touch them. They have germs. Like, that literally was it. Because in my national school, it was all... Well, it was a nun school, so we were all kind of told, stay away from men because we'll only get pregnant, kind of a thing. Oh, so, like, it was kind of like, men, no. That was not a choice right now.
Jesus. I don't fully agree with the whole kind of the church-run schools anyway. I don't think...
Oh, no.
Like I don't understand...
I understand why we get holidays for, like, church, because that just gives me a holiday for myself. And I'm completely okay with that.
Yeah,
but other than the fact that, like, nuns are very... well, in my secondary school, they were all very controlling, isn't like...
Mm.
You have to go to religion. Like, there was no, you know, oh, I'll do my homework in religion. No, that's not a thing. You have to learn. Like,
oh, no way.
Yeah, like, a lot of schools, like, I'd be talking to people and they'd be like, oh, no, sure, we only had religion. I'd be like, religion was the worst day of my life. Like, I would sit there and be like, oh, Jesus Christ. Like, literally having to pray to him.
Because in our school, it's a multi-denominational school. So,
yeah.
Like, when we had religion, it was kind of like, here's a little bit of Muslim, here's a little bit about Christianity. Like, most of the time, the teacher was like, do you want to do your homework? Do you have a little homework too?
Yeah.
Grant, we just chat. Like, it was nothing like that.
Yeah, no, especially, like, in Leaving Cert when you needed those classes. Like, you needed, like, a free class to just be like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't do LCVP, and that was the best choice of my life, because at least I had a double during the week, where I could either sleep, study, or just sit on my phone and listen to music. And it was like, it was the only break I really could have for Leaving Cert. Because otherwise, I would have just been like, killed out, studying all day, all night. And that was my only time where I could kind of like, either talk to my friends in a classroom.
Yeah.
Or just go on my phone and stuff.
We still get religion at junior cert. We don't get any anything after that, because they're kind of like, they don't do anything during anyway. But do you have SPHE as well?
Yeah, we have SPHE and we have careers.
Yeah.
So.
And would you the DOS class as well? Cause like for us
SPHE, it kind of, not really, like they had to like teach us what a condom was and contraception and stuff like that. And because like, it is a non-school where they shouldn't actually teach us about contraception because apparently it's a sin. I didn't know that up until last year. But apparently it is, even though like, that's ridiculous. But not my opinion. But yeah, they were all like, if we had to learn all about that stuff, and we had to just herpes and gonorrhea, and have to learn all the symptoms, just awful. That was disgusting. But careers was actually quite interesting. We had to do, we did loads of mock HPAT quizzes, which were like actually kind of interesting. They're kind of like, what would you do in this scenario? And they give you like loads of different scenarios that were kind of like, oh, I didn't actually think of that. That could actually happen. And what do I have to answer in order to be a doctor?
Yeah.
Like, they give you the answers and you'd be like, oh, really? That's not really, like, caring.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because our careers last year consisted of us getting a presentation on, like, this is what you do in this job and this is what you do in that. Completely useless. We actually, the only kind of thing maybe that was kind of useful was we did, like, mock job interviews, because like most people like they never really apply for job interviews. So, like, we all took turns, like there was like a panel of three interviewing one, and like we all kind of took turns, and like
that's embarrassing. I'd die.
Yeah, and like most people were like froze and they were like, I have no idea what I do right now, but like you can't do that when you go into your interview. Like,
yeah.
So that was kind of interesting. Like, I don't know, people kind of shell up when they get like
have to talk about themselves.
Yeah.
I completely, like, did you not see me before we had to speak?
Yeah.
I was like, I want to die.
Yeah, I was like, do you want a few more minutes before I start? But once you get into it, it's fine. Like, it's just a conversation.
No,
but
like, Irish people especially, what I've noticed about being over in England and, like, racing and, like, the electric car people, they're just like, do you not know how to either accept a compliment or talk about yourself? Because anytime if they say, oh, that was good, I'm like, oh, Jesus, no, don't say that to me. I die of embarrassment for even accepting it. Like, if someone ever says, oh, you know what, you look nice in that dress, I'm like, oh, no, it's cheap, don't worry about it, it's fine.
Yeah.
No, don't say that to me.
It's just an Irish mentality. Or even, like, I know one thing we're talking about lately was that when you walk in and someone's like, how are you keeping Grant?
So it's like the whole world is falling around me, but like, oh no, it's fine, just don't worry about it.
I know one time, literally, there was a person walked into, was in the classroom, and they're like, just after bawling their eyes out, and someone goes, how are you? And they're like, oh, grand, and just like sat down. I was like, you know, clearly you're not okay,
it's an Irish thing where we like don't like to cause attention to ourselves. We're just like, if attention is drawn to us, we're just like, bye, like, yeah. Push it all away and just keep sweeping under the mat, like.
Yeah, and then the whole kind of, like, one thing we really do in SPG, we don't do any of the sexual health or anything. We literally all do is, like, mental health. That's literally,
yeah, no, I completely understand that, though.
Which is good, but, like, we literally got one talk on, like, sexual health in, like, TY, and that's all we got. Like,
you kind of do need it, I'm sorry, but, like, so people who don't even know what things
are.
Yeah. Like,
oh, yeah, no, and I totally agree, but what we, like, we're, like, I think I do... like the fact that mental health has not been brought up, because, like, before, for years, you know, as in, like, mental health is not a thing.
If someone was upset, it was like, let them deal with it. It's their problem.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of, it was stupid, but that's Irish people for me.
Yeah. Well, I think the conversation is starting, and I think it's going to be just the best for everyone to have it. Like, I know teenagers, especially when mental health being brought up, they're like, oh, God, this is being brought up again.
Yeah.
Because it is. Like,
we are draining it out, but it's helping.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it'll become a normal thing eventually. You know, like, the analogy I really like is, like, you know, if you break your arm, you see the cast, you're like, oh, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
But, like, the mental health, you don't
see the problem there. You can't read someone else's face or their emotions, which is really sick.
No, it's really, really weird. And, like, I know I've never battled anything, but I know so many people have, like, battled depression, anxiety, like, people really battling anxiety.
Wait until you get to Leaving Cert, like, actual the month, then honestly, that question will completely change.
Yeah.
It's the month before, that's when you, like, start having panic attacks. I'm not even joking, I'm not gonna sugarcoat it for you.
Yeah.
It's so stressful. Like,
yeah,
it's just
yeah.
the fact that the teachers are like, so you haven't handed up your lab copy. So what you mean you haven't ended up, and you're there like, oh God, my whole life is over. And then, like, it's stuff like that where teachers are just, like, very not helpful. They're just as stressed as you are, and
yeah.
then everyone else in the class is stressed. So it's just everyone just it's so awful. Everyone's either crying or they just don't want to be in school. And your whole life will change the last month's Leaving Cert. I'm just saying. I'm just telling you now.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair warning. Everyone listening, the last month's Leaving Cert is the fucking torture. I think we're wrapping up. We've just gone just under an hour now. Right, thanks a million for doing it. Is there anything you want to plug? Anything you want to, like, mention or anything? Or
Maybe follow me on Instagram, guys. It's Aoife Melia, AOIFEMELIA, and just follow me, and then you can keep up to date with me.
Yeah, I'll link it all down below anyway. I'll include all that. Thanks a million for doing this.
You're so cute.
Right, and we'll see you next month for the next podcast. Right, thanks.